This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'du. I have a question for each and every one of you, including the ghayru balighin, the children, the young men and young women. How many of you, okay, have embraced Islam? Okay. How many of you are contemplating Islam? How many of you know someone that is contemplating Islam? Okay. How many of you were born Muslim? You ready? Are you ready? I know this is academic. I gotta shake off studies. You gotta be serious. You know. How many of you were born Muslim but embraced Islam? You're in the right place. You're in Yaqeen. We're here for Yaqeen. Alhamdulillah. I'm happy that a lot of you raised your hand because you understand exactly what I'm talking about. The fact that you may have been born Muslim, but as they say, quote unquote, by name. But there was something that happened in your life, whether it was a person, place, or thing, that made you say, you know what? I believe Islam is the truth. Or you know what? I need to make a change. And what my mom and dad taught me, I'm going to look into it. Amazingly enough, I did the same thing as a Christian. But when I looked into it, what do y'all think happened? Take a wild guess. You may be right. It was the hidayah. It was the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing me a way, me making the small choice, making the effort, and then enabling me to go the way after that. Many of you may have had a job, you know, you graduate from college, you get your degree, you go to your orientation, they give you a what? They give you a what, guys? I like to be interactive, so you can go ahead and talk. It's okay. But I know you have your masks on, so you may have to raise your voices a little. A what? A book. A book for what? Orientation to orient you in your new place of employment, right? So they're basically telling you what to do, right? And then they're going to what? Pay you. So they've showed you the way how to do it. It's just for you to make that effort, and they reward you for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the same thing with Allah and mathalul a'la, and for Allah is a much greater example. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. How many of you try to tell people about your life, about Islam, whether you're in college, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether it's your neighbor, and they're like, oh, that's for you, right? In their face, they're like, but then at the very end, they're like, that's great. Have fun with that. That's great. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. How many of you have had a friend that, or a person that you've known that you see them years later, and you're like, you embraced this? What? You? I remember you in the classroom. You are a Muslim and you're practicing now, whatever that may mean. That hidayah is something that is major. It goes beyond our capabilities and even our understanding. So when we want to talk about hidayah, it's something that is very, very comprehensive and shamil. It's comprehensive. And there are some introductory points that I want to mention, some guidelines in regards to guidance. But firstly, we see this beautiful verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the chapter of Al-An'am, verse number 125. Where he says, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدَ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ الْآيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a beautiful, beautiful example here. Beautiful example. He says, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to guide, yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Yashrah. All of you say yashrah. We're going to do it three times. Okay, you got one second time? One more time. Yashrah. Right. Yashrah means to open or to cleave open. You notice when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in this verse, and in another verse, he uses the same verb, yashrah, in regards to hidayah and guiding someone. And as the scholars mention, particularly Taher ibn Ashur in the Tahir wa Tanwir, book of Tafsir, a Tunisi from Tunis, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions how the chest is cleaved open, and particularly it is in regards to initially the butcher. When he cleaves open the meat is soft or hard? Soft. So the heart is open and ready to accept whatever comes to it from the haqq, from the truth. يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That's if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to guide them. يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And subhanAllah, when we look at this, we think of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not open your chest to Islam, to accept the message? When understanding this انشراح الصدر, that you have a soft heart ready to accept the message, this is also a form of hidayah, of guidance, a manifestation of it rather. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about opening the chest, we should stop and think. When we hear something about Islam, what is our initial feeling? Do we have a desire to do it or not? This process that you go through in asking yourself questions is a process of humility. And being honest and saying, you know what? My heart doesn't sit well with that. What means are we taking to try to establish or maintain and strengthen that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with God, with the creator of the heavens and the earth? So when looking at this انشراح الصدر, it is the chest that is expanded for the truth. What did Musa say when he was receiving the message from God? What did he request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ahsant, yeah, what's your name? Umar, hayakallah ya Umar. Barakallahu fikum. He said, Rabbi ishrah li sadri. Again, the same verb, ishrah. Oh Allah, expand my chest. For what? For what? Who?
So his
Uh-huh. Except. They can understand and accept Islam, but there was one guy that he was told to give the message of Islam to. He was with his brother who?
Harun.
Harun akhishdud bihi azri wa ashrikhu fi amri. Both of them were summoned to go to who? Idhhab ila Fir'aun. Now stop. Moses is ordered to go to Pharaoh. He's asking Allah, oh Allah, make my heart soft to this guy. Because you want guidance for him, meaning that you want good or bad. Now just stop and think for yourself. Your neighbor, your Islamophobic neighbor, your Islamophobic boss, do we actually want hidayah for them? Because that desire of wanting good for them is hidayah of Allah to you, for you to want good, and hidayah for other people. Ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. After you make my heart open to wanting good for him, make my affairs easy for me.
Sheikh, I'm just going to interrupt you.
Yes.
Folks, this is going to be a very packed session. There are people waiting outside. We still see empty seats, and then folks are saying there are other people coming. If they're not here by now, please just move in and allow those who are here. So if you're saving a seat, the people didn't come yet, just give up that seat so that we can give them the guidance.
I cannot hang. He's too much. Dr. Altaf is every time I'm around him, I can't hold it in. He's just too much, man. He just comes off guard with this. Mashallah, he's so good. Mashallah. If you ever see his name on a fundraiser, you have to go. You have to go. He's a riot. Mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah bless him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in shirah al-sadr, alam nashrah laka sadrak, do we not expand your chest? Moses, we see that he asked Allah to make his chest soft for people that were his enemy. That's not easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues after that. وَمَن يُرِدْ أَن يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his universal will or his existential will in existence, his will for something to happen, for that person to be misguided, he makes his or her chest dayikan, tight, harajan. And it's difficult for that person. Then he gives an example. كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as though they are rising in the sky. And as we know, the higher that you rise in the sky, the tighter the what? Oxygen, pressure, exactly. So look at the example Al-Alim, the all-knowledgeable, gives. But what's beautiful in the Arabic language as well, from a morphologic perspective, he increases the letter. He doesn't say Yas'adu. Yas'adu. That's how my Tajweed teacher used to teach me. I used to think he was going to dance. Yas'adu. On the shadda he would hold me. Yas'a. Stressing it to show that it's difficult for that person to accept the truth. When the truth comes to them, man, it's so difficult for them. At that point, you have a choice. This may happen to each and every one of us. You don't understand it, so you may reject it. Or you don't understand it, and you say, Allahu A'lam. It is a choice. Allah, with his hidayah, brought it in front of you. Because we understand there's types of hidayah, which we will talk about, that there's hidayah where Allah shows you the way, and there's the hidayah where Allah enables you to go the way. You know, subhanAllah, I know this is particularly for the men that take road trips. You know, the wives or the sisters or the daughters, you know, they tell their dad, Dad, it's this way. We're looking at the map. He's like, no, it's this way. We're going this way. He stops at a coffee shop. Those that are laughing, I hope their husband's not sitting by them. If it's a woman. He stops at a coffee shop, and the person tells him, yes, go this direction. That is the hidayah of showing you the way. But if you're going to choose to go that way, is another form of hidayah. But you had to make a choice. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this hidayah, there's some introductory things that I want to mention that are very, very important for us. Firstly, that hidayah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. How many of you have talked to someone about Islam and they decided to embrace Islam? Like they converted to Islam because you talked to them, okay? How many of you have had a family member and they seen you consistent and they said, you know what, I look up to you, I respect you. They started to gradually come back. Anyone? Alhamdulillah. Maybe you yourself are on the path of coming back or just trying. And when we say coming back, it doesn't mean, okay, you're praying five times a day for the rest of your life, but you're at least setting the alarm. You at least have an intention to do something that you know is from Islam and you believe because you believe that God is Allah and that he has no partners. So when seeing this, the person makes that decision to act upon that hidayah. And understanding that, subhanAllah, the hidayah is only from Allah. If someone was to come to Islam or come back to Islam, we should never think that it was because of my capabilities or the words that I said or so on and so forth. It is ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting something in front of that person and that person making that ultimate decision. Secondly, we see that guidance is from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's virtue upon you. Yesterday I was mentioning at the lecture, and it's something that we really, really have to pierce our hearts and think about. We have forgotten more sins than we remember. Just think about that. The sins that we commit, and a sin is a voluntary act of disobedience that you know before you did it, whether it's habitual or it's something new that you're performing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasi'un alim. He is abundant in his rahmah, wasi'at kulla shay. That his mercy encompasses everything. But the sins that you commit, what you remember, the sins that you even remember, think of a sin last week, everyone. Close your eyes or whatever. I don't want you to remember your sins, but actually, yes, remember one thing that you did that you know you shouldn't have done. Did you ask Allah for forgiveness for that one? What about the 20 others that same day? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, remembers. So when understanding the virtue of hidayah, of guidance, wallahi, one can say, I don't deserve that. Wallahi, there was one guy when we embraced Islam, he was a DJ. And he embraced Islam, and the thing he always used to say, man, Allah is so patient with me. I used to say, why do you keep saying that, bro? He's like, man, when I just think about what I used to do, Allah is so patient that he would give me and show me Islam and then give me the strength to accept it. ذَلِكَ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That's a virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think of the creation, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you think of anything other than Allah, it's the creation of Allah. When you look at everything on the earth, from things that you are so magnified, that you are amazed by, know that Allah is greater than that. So if Allah is greater than that, being that He is Al-Khaliq, the creator of all of these things, imagine His knowledge, His wisdom, which is endless. So the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strictly from His fadl. Because it is not for us to build it on reciprocity, to think that, okay, I did this, I prayed Fajr, where's the 100 that I was supposed to get on this test? I got a 78. Oh Allah, please, if you just give me today, man. And I didn't get it. How many of us has that happened to? It's happened to me. You know, you make the fast food dua, like in your car, right before you get out, you say, okay, let me try. You're trying, you make the dua, what you wanted and you pictured in your mind didn't happen. How do you act? What happens then? Disappointment sometimes, right? That's where we have to check ourselves and remember that the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a virtue from Him. It's something that He has given you as a virtue. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in the Quran, when He talks about the beauty of the people in Jannah, when He says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, wa naza'na ma fi sudurihim min ghillin tajri min tahtihimul anhar, wa qalu alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. The people in Jannah, may Allah make us from the people of Jannah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a description of them. Listen closely. Wa naza'na ma fi sudurihim min ghillin, and we have extracted or taken out from their chests any ghil, any feeling in their hearts. And then what do they say? Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana. All praises to Allah, the one that has guided us. Wa ma kunna linahtadiya. And we would not have been guided, lawla an hadana Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not guide us. Whenever you do something good, and sometimes you ask yourself, man, I don't even know how I did that. Recognize that's from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given you. That's the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given you. Thirdly, that the guidance is built upon endless knowledge and wisdom. Endless what? And what? I like to say knowledge and wisdom because sometimes we like to domesticate the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or restrict it. We have to understand, I highly implore all of you, mashallah, there's numerous papers that we have in regards to the names and attributes of God. When talking to anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, those that may not even believe in God, the names and attributes of a deity is a very nice universal topic to talk about. When you talk about Al-Khaliq, the creator, He's the creator of all things. What do you as Muslims believe? We believe that the one that created, there's one creator and everything other than Him is His creation. And He has, due to that reality, He has ultimate authority over it. And because of that reality, He is the most knowledgeable of it. And what takes place with that creation, He allows it to happen or does not allow it to happen for a divine wisdom. And wisdom is appropriation of His knowledge. He has knowledge of everything. He allows it to happen or restricts it from happening. Why? I don't know. Maybe sometimes in my life He may allow me to know why certain things happened. And I have a choice in regards to when I find out why I received COVID. When I find out why my brother or sister died. When I find out why I failed that test. When I find out what was the real reason that me, my friend and I split up and we have enmity towards another. When I find all of that out, what is my response to that predestination? What Allah allowed to happen? Alhamdulillah. That's what we say. Exactly. Beautiful, Umar. Yeah. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, the Prophet used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinking about the fact that He guided you to even wake up to say, Alhamdulillah ladhi ahyana ba'dama wa ilayhi an-nushur. All the first thing that you say when you wake up, the Prophet used to wake up, wipe his face with his left hand, he said, Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah, alladhi ahyana, the one that has given us life after He has taken us, and to Him is the final gathering, nushur. You're thinking about this and you praise Allah. When we say Alhamdulillah, He is praised for every single thing that we can imagine. Al-kamalu lillah. Perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihsan is not perfection. Ihsan is excellence. You use what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to the best of your ability in a way that pleases Allah. And that effort is appreciated. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkuran. The next principle is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asked about what He does. He's not asked about what He does. Because if you think about it, subhanAllah, when we think about predestination, for example, predestination that Allah willed for something to happen that we do not see or see in this earth as oppressive or see in this earth as something that is wrong, quote unquote. But when we stop and take a step back, sometimes mentally you have to do this. And then look at the bigger picture. When you take a step back and go back to those beautiful names and attributes of God, one of them being Al-Alim, that He is the creator of all things, the beginning of time, many things have happened that we've learned lessons from in order how to act in the future or currently. And that's what I mean by domesticating the knowledge of God only to your limited intellect and reality. Why didn't my best friend become Muslim? I don't understand it. This person would complete my sentences when we would talk. We were on the same wavelength. But then after high school, college, we split away. It was gonna happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His endless knowledge and wisdom, when we understand that, particularly as the Qadr and the Salat make a beautiful statement in regards to predestination. Al-Khaidu fil Qadr kan-Nadhiri fil Shams. The one that indulges in and constantly busies themselves and wondering why and trying to understand the predestination, which we will totally never understand because it is built, it is couched in His knowledge and wisdom. The one that constantly busies themselves with that is like the one looking at the sun with the naked eye. How many of you can look at the sun with the naked eye for hours on end without a telescope with them? Very difficult. It's a difficult task. To the degree that it could harm you. And when you stop and think about it, the sun is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minute creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One small example with the sun. That is the example when we talk about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within the wisdom of Allah, Amul Huzni took place. What's Aam al-Huzn? The year of sadness. What happened in the year of sadness? Umar, what happened in the year of sadness? Okay. He's not a shaykh. Good answer. Great answer. That's my man. That's nisf al-ilm. Huh? Oh, najah, bismillah. Jazakallah khair. Everybody say mashallah. She's a sheikha. Yes. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. She's like, oh, okay. Hafidhikillah, hafidhikillah, mashaAllah. Right, so we see that his uncle and his wife died. He's a prophet. He's spreading the message of God. He's calling people to good. The one that supported him emotionally and his uncle that supported him politically and socially, they died in the same year. Now at this point, each and every one of you stop and think of a relative that you've loved. Some of you, your relatives have passed away from COVID. Some of your relatives have passed away. Some of them have faced cancer, have had diseases. And you're thinking to yourself, this person, why? What did they do? What did they do wrong? That initial feeling is human. But Allah doesn't hold us accountable for that initial impulse. This is important. Because some of us may think the religion is rigid because the way it's introduced to us by certain people. But Allah wants guidance for each and every single one of us. When you ask that question, why? Take a step back. All of those moments you shared with that person, or all of those moments you've had in a particular situation that did not come out as you expected it, realize that Allah did it for divine wisdom, and it is a struggle for you to put your trust in Him and His divine knowledge and wisdom. And when you realize, how can I ask God why He did what He did? It's for divine knowledge and wisdom that I may never know. Maybe Allah wants you to live the legacy of that person. So many different options or things that you can perform and do to fulfill in regards to fulfilling the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is important. It is not easy. Was it easy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When his son died and he's holding him in his arms, he said, verily, the eyes shed tears. But what did he say at the very end? The heart is saddened and the eyes shed tears. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِ الرَّبِّ. But we will not say anything that displeases the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the times of hardship, in the times of vulnerability, that is the time where it's important for you to remember the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far surpasses our knowledge. When we look at the process of hidayah, brothers and sisters, the process of hidayah, as the scholars mentioned, there's the hidayah ibtida'iyah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whom He wills and what He wills to happen in the beginning. As I mentioned earlier, that you may be shown something. There is an option. You have two options in front of you. What do you do if there's two options that are halal? Or more, two or more options in front of you. What does the Muslim do? Who knows? Istikhara. Istikhara and also istishara. But istikhara, you are trusting in Allah to guide you to that which is best. Because you're trusting in His knowledge and His wisdom. You know that what He chooses is the best. And you take counsel from those that you trust, inshallah, from their deen, from their closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Along with their understanding of your particular situation as well. So the process of hidayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may enable you to go the way. Initially, hopefully, in your heart. When you say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, you mean it. When you say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, you think about the times that you went off of the sirat al-mustaqim. And when you're praying, you say, oh Allah, guide me. Guide me. I remember this, my man to me. I'm going to say his name. I said half of it. I remember I asked him, now, why did you become Muslim? You know what he said? He said, man, I just don't want to go to hell, man. I don't know how to be. I don't know how to be all, you know, I saw a light. No, I just don't want to go to hell. That's what he said. So when you say, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide me to the straight path, because I have a lot of mistakes, ya Allah. I have a lot of mistakes. But I'm trying. As a matter of fact, as I've been told by numerous youth and elders, I just don't feel it when I pray. I don't feel it. What am I supposed to feel? Guide me to the straight path. One thing that I tell him is that, subhanAllah, think of things in your life and connect it to a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say, okay, don't think of your bills and your balance sheet. Okay, think of Ar-Razzaq. Okay. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave this to me. And if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have the faculties to obtain the job, to get this money, so on and so forth. Allah has given me the strong personality to accept this way of life. Allah has given me the intellect to humble myself to those things that I will never know because I trust in the general qualities of the one that knows everything. Guide me to the straight path. So when one is guided to the straight path, in their heart, they understand who Allah is and who He is not, which is the first pillar of Islam, which is everyone's responsibility to make an effort to learn about God. They will do an action of good. Coming here and listening, coming to Chicago to a conference to learn about God is an action of good. And inshallah, may Allah reward each and every one of you for that. That's an action of the limbs. That's an action of iman. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And taking something harmful from the street is from iman. If you see a branch in the street, you put your hazard lights on, go and take the branch from the street, that's from iman. You're helping society, you're helping your neighborhood. Those actions, تَنْبَعِثُ الْقَلْبِ, it has an effect on the heart, which strengthens the faith, to do another action, which has an effect on the heart, that strengthens the faith. How many of you, when you pray after Asr, you're coming home from work, or you're tired, and you pray Asr or Fajr, and you say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, you feel that weight just... I feel the sense of tranquility. And if you don't, it does not mean that you're not a mu'min. Doesn't mean that you're not a muhsin. Guess what you just did? You just did an action of prayer. That is an act of guidance. Because you could have went to sleep. You could have stayed online. You could have done any other action that was of misguidance at that time. So when seeing this process of hidayah, and as I tell people that convert to Islam, that Islam, it's a process, it's not an event. We should not seek, listen closely, we should not seek to be motivated. We should seek to be disciplined. We should seek to be disciplined. When I embraced Islam, and many of us, even when we come back to the deen, one of the hardest things was praying 5 times a day. Remember my Libyan sheikh, he said, okay, Islam is to do this. You know, Islam is to believe in the oneness of God. So yeah, yes, I got that. Muhammad is the last messenger. Yeah, I heard about him. He sounds like Jesus. Inshallah, they all call to the oneness of God. I think I believe that one there too. Yeah, alhamdulillah. And then Islam is to pray 5 times. What? What? You said? What? Every day? Like, Friday is like your Sunday. So Fridays, that's the only day we pray 5 times a day? Every day, brother. For the rest of your life. There's no rollover, like one day you don't, and then, you know, you add 10. No. Every single day, 5 times a day. But what's most important is that within this process of guidance, you're going to make mistakes. But you have that anchor. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Praying, turning to God, knowing that He is the ultimate source of all good. He is the ultimate source of all good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in hadith Qudsi, in the sacred hadith, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum dallun illa man hadaytu. All of you are misguided except those whom I have guided. And then look what he says here. Fastahduni ahdikum. Conditional sentence. Seek the guidance, I will guide you. There has to be an effort. Many of us today, when we go home tomorrow, next week, inshallah, we'll be motivated. After Ramadan, we laugh, right? Okay, now I'm back to the real me. After Ramadan, Shawwal, was Ramadan a catalyst for one new habit? Inshallah, yes. That's the Sheikh. Sheikh, right? Rujail Hadha. Has it brought us to a new habit that we know within ourselves? Asking Allah, oh Allah, guide me to be with my family more, fathers. Oh young men, oh Allah, guide me to be patient with my parents. Oh Allah, guide me to this certainty. Verily, I'm searching, I just don't feel it. You keep asking Allah. And that process, when you do the actions of the Sharia, we have to understand, these actions that we do in the Sharia, prayer, zakat, all of these are actions of guidance that when you do it, it strengthens your faith if you have the intention, the istihda. You have the want to be guided. You want to be guided. You want it. That is what is important. So when we look at this aspect of guidance, from understanding, firstly, that guidance is from Allah. Secondly, that it is a virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, that guidance is built upon knowledge and wisdom. Fourthly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asked about what he does. He will ask us, but he is not asked about what he does. And realizing that all of this is a process. I love the verse in Al-Ankabut, the very end of Al-Ankabut. And it's such a motivation for the sinners, which is all of us, by the way. We all commit sin. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. A beautiful verse. A beautiful, beautiful verse that gives hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for those that strive in our, strive, jahadu. It's the same word, verb for jihad, talking about spiritual. Those that strive in our path, fina, with sincerity. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah in the Arabic language uses numerous forms of surety here. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Two forms of surety to show that you make the effort. You make the effort. نَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ هُدَى. We will surely guide you. But what kind of effort? You have to give it everything. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And verily Allah is with the who? The who? The muhsineen, the people of excellence, those that try their best. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that try our best in actions of khair. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make any confusion or questions that we have, allow them to be answered through our learning and our experience through life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this experience that we have a means of increasing our faith and closeness to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow any time that we asked for guidance and didn't receive it the way that we wanted to, we understand that this religion is on His terms and not on ours. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اهدنا على سواء السبيل يا رب العالمين وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وزمان يا رب العالمين. اجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاك الله خير.